From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jim Howard. Normally, the start of a $25 million road project does not draw the attention of most public officials. But today, President Obama is using the event in Ohio to remind Americans that his economic stimulus program is putting people back to work.
And since then, here in Ohio, nearly 2,400 small businesses have gotten loans to keep their doors open and their workers on payroll. 4.5 million families have gotten tax cuts to help pay their bills and put food on the table. Some 450 transportation projects are underway or have been completed, and more than 100,000 Ohioans are at work today as a result of these steps.
The White House says this is the 10,000th road project started under the stimulus program. In addition to road projects across the U.S., other summer work funded by the program includes improvements to national parks, drinking water systems, and energy plants. In Minnesota yesterday, a series of violent storms and tornadoes left at least three people dead and damaged nearly 60 farms. Wadea resident Scott Carr describes the damage in his community.
Our local community center was completely destroyed. Our local fairgrounds was completely wiped off. Trees uprooted, vehicles had trees laying across them.
Officials say up to nine tornadoes ripped a nearly 20-mile path through parts of rural Fribourg County. The governor of Minnesota is touring damaged areas today. The Coast Guard is coordinating a new strategy to capture oil from the BP spill closer to shore. Admiral Thad Allen says about 2,000 private boats will be used to skim oil less than 50 miles offshore. Earlier efforts had put those skimming operations further out in the Gulf. The U.S. soccer team tied Slovenia 2-2 to stay alive in the World Cup soccer competition today. NPR's Mike Pesca is watching the action in South Africa.
This was a huge swing of emotions. The Slovenians scored a fast goal, the fastest they'd ever scored in the World Cup. They were up 2-0 at halftime. But the United States, cliche though it is, never said die. They scored early in the second half. They scored late again. And it seemed that they scored a go-ahead goal that was disallowed. So it's a dramatic and ultimately a good result for the United States.
Jury deliberations continue today in Florida in the first trial in the U.S. over defective drywall from China. A Miami area couple is seeking more than $4 million in damages. The drywall has been linked to health problems, corrosion of wiring in the homes, computers, doorknobs, and jewelry. Campbell Soup Company says it's recalling 15 million pounds of SpaghettiOs with meatballs because one of its cookers malfunctioned and left the meat uncooked. In a recorded message, Campbell says the recall involves cans made since December of 2008. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 15 points at 10,449 in trading of 2 billion shares. The Nasdaq Composite Index is down a fraction at 2306, and the S&P is up 1 point at 1117. This is NPR News. 70 years ago today, then, French General Charles de Gaulle made his first radio broadcast from London to occupied France, as Larry Miller reports that is being celebrated today with ceremonies attended by French President Nicolas Sarkozy.
President Sarkozy being welcomed at the BBC Broadcasting House in central London, from where Charles de Gaulle inspired the French to resist the Nazis. That first broadcast wasn't recorded, though subsequent ones were.
Vive la France! Libre, dans l'honneur.
There was a wreath-laying ceremony with around 200 members of the French resistance marking the anniversary. British Prime Minister David Cameron.
When the shadow of tyranny was stretching over France, a flame of hope was lit, not very far from here, by General de Gaulle.
Sarkozy said the flame of French resistance will not be extinguished and that the only true France was that which did not accept defeat. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
A Connecticut jury today convicted Hartford Mayor Eddie Perez on corruption charges. Perez has been found guilty of trying to extort money from a real estate developer and accepting home improvements as a bribe. The six-week trial stemmed from allegations that Perez accepted $40,000 in home improvements from a city contractor. He also tried to extort $100,000 from a developer who wanted to buy city-owned property. Sentencing for the mayor is set for September. For the first time in 14 years, the state of Utah carried out a death penalty execution by firing squad. Convicted murderer Ronnie Lee Gardner was put to death for killing a lawyer in 1980. A team of five marksmen killed him shortly after midnight. I'm Jim Howard, NPR News in Washington.